The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Wednesdays are for pro wrestling, and that of course means another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. I am your host for the evening. I am the five-star man, Asa Gray, and joining me at this time is the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And we got a week and a half, 2 weeks worth of news to cover, so we're going to jump into things here in just a moment. But before we do, we wanted to take a moment and let everybody know that this Saturday, September 25th, at the Charleston High School, CCW is running the 8th Ashlyn McClure Memorial Show. If you are unfamiliar, if you're new to us, you're new to CCW, you're new to PWU, this is easily the most important show that we run every year, because all of the proceeds, all of the ticket sales, everything goes directly to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Ashlyn McClure is the daughter of a friend of Jason Wells, the booker, the promoter of CCW, and she unfortunately passed due to cancer as a child. She was the daughter of a good friend of Jason's, and since then he was completely blown away at how St. Jude treated his friend's family. Because if you don't know what St. Jude does, not only is it like a specialized children's hospital for children, but also part of the treatment is St. Jude covers all medical costs. They cover living expenses, so you don't have to worry about, you know, losing your home or having to work, or, you know, you can be there for your child. They cover food. Like, they take care of not only the child being treated for, you know, this thing that they should never have to go through, but they also take care of the families. And, you know, when it's such a huge deal when, you know, you hear the horror stories of people going bankrupt because of medical costs and things like that. So St. Jude does a whole lot of good work. And this is the eighth total, but I think this is the fourth that we've done through CCW.
Yeah, it's the fourth because we started at five. So because the first CCW one was five. And yeah, I know, like you said, this is hands down, like, I wrestle a lot of cool shows throughout the year and a lot of like really cool matchups and stuff, but there is nothing quite like the Ashlyn McClure Memorial show, because this is the one time where we are doing something like hopefully good.
Yeah, there's like no downside to it. And also, like, it's a credit to everybody involved, because, you know, I know the vast majority, if not every single one of the wrestlers is doing it. You know, they forego their payday because that money that would typically be, you know, that they would earn wrestling just goes straight to St. Jude.
Yeah.
You know, toot our horn or anything, but I know we also, like, same thing, anything that we would make for the shows, even before, like, you were wrestling, you know, anytime we would have done, like, commentary or anything like that, we would always just, you know, that just everything goes to St. Jude.
Yeah. And a big shout out to Charleston High School for, yes, the venue. Wrestling shows are kind of hard to put on, and getting a good venue is important. And I'm excited. This is a basketball arena in a really, like, passionate town for what we do at CCW. So, I mean, I know Jason is hoping to pack this one out. I'm hoping to pack this one out. I think everybody on the card is hoping for a sellout. Would be amazing. You see how big that building is. That would be...
Yeah. And it's nuts. Like, I'm not talking negative about the typical venue that we use whenever we've done these shows, but this one is much, much bigger, so we can fit even more people in. You know, it's a big space, it's a good space, and, you know, as the more people that we can fit in, the more money that we've raised for St. Jude there. And plus, like, on top of it, you know, not just as, you know, it's a good cause, obviously, but it's going to be a great show.
Yeah.
Like, we've got Marco Stunt is going to be there. Did I see it was a last man standing match?
Yep.
Between him and Brandon Barbwire for the CCW title. We have the first ever women's ladder match for the CCW Women's Championship, with a little bit defending against Mel. The new CCW tag champions are defending against the former CCW tag champions in No Role Models are defending against Dangerous and Delicious. And Dangerous and Delicious are dicks now. So that's just going to be... I mean, I don't want to say fun to watch, but they're kind of in their element there.
Yeah. Justin finally gets to be Justin again.
Yeah, this is the first show that they really get to go, like, the whole way through, like, into it. So I'm very excited to see that. Plus, you know, a bunch of other matches. Obviously, Mega Brother's going to be in action. Just, you know, CCW's really got a great roster. I know KLD's going to be there. Baracus is going to be there. The Pinnacle, of course, just so many amazing, talented people all, you know, coming together to put on an amazing show. With everything going to St. Jude, which is a just incredible charity. So, capewrestling.com. You can get your tickets ahead of time, or you can do general admission day of. That, again, is this Saturday, September 25th at the Charleston High School. So if you're in the area, check that out. And then other big wrestling show this weekend. There's another little small time company that's running a show on Sunday. It's called, I need to find it. The WWE is running a show in San Jose, California called Extreme Rules. So I know they're hurting for ratings. If you're 18 to 49, they definitely need you to be checking them out. I don't know why I decided to do that bit. But Extreme Rules is this Sunday. You can watch it on Peacock. If you're international, you can watch it on the WWE Network, you lucky duck.
And I hate you for it.
Right. And the cool thing about this year's Extreme Rules, Dalton, I don't know if you know this or not, if you've seen it yet, but we have 6 matches so far announced on the card. And as of right now, there is 1 Extreme Rules match, and that is the only specialty stipulation,
of course,
for the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. So we're gonna preview that before we jump into everything, just so we're not having to rush through it at the end of the show. First off, I'm just going down the list that Wikipedia's got here. Becky Lynch is finally defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair. I don't think there's a doubt that Becky leaves with the title, but I'm looking forward to the two of them having an actual match, because what we got at SummerSlam wasn't it, Chief.
Yeah. Also, if you hear a lot of clicking on my side, I'm typing out our predictions as I go along, so I apologize.
See, I feel like I should just get a freebie month after you just forfeited SummerSlam.
I mean, but that's...
Because that's one of the big four anyway. Anyway, moving on. Who do you have for
this? Oh, I have Becky. There's no way she's losing this one. I say as she loses this one.
Yeah. And again, it's a championship match, so it's who leaves with the title, not... Because this is...
Yeah, you're right.
Because I could absolutely see them go back to the intentional DQ well. Or maybe she'll just, like, even Bianca Belair has time to prepare, and they still will decide to just beat her in 6 seconds. There's actually a lot of change. Actually, every match so far, except for Liv Morgan versus Carmella, is the only non-title match announced so far. So we'll actually just jump into that one. Liv Morgan, Carmella. I really want it to be Liv Morgan. My heart is telling me Liv Morgan. They also kind of seem to, like, they can't really decide if they really want to get behind her or not. So I think a pay-per-view win over Carmella, who has lost a whole lot the last few months, is, like, them counting that as, like, getting behind her. So I'm going to say Liv Morgan.
I'm going to go with Carmella on that one.
Okay. Any particular reason, or?
They really just, like, making her win on pay-per-views when it's not for a title.
That's fair. United States Championship to be defended as Damian Priest defends against both Jeff Hardy and Sheamus in a triple threat match. Again, I think Damian Priest retains here. I feel like he's going to get a solid reign, and he won't drop it until he's ready to be moved up into the world title picture.
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't think he's ever going to get moved up into the world title picture. Like,
there's no way he doesn't. There's no way he doesn't. At least for a single, like, he at least challenges whoever at some point.
I'll give you that. He'll challenge, but I don't think he'll win it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I mean. I don't necessarily know if they'll put it on him, but I do think he will end up, because I think that performance with Bad Bunny, like, made him. Because Damian Priest is legit, like, one of the most protected people on the roster at this point.
That's true. Also, Asa, Brian Omega's going on off to the side of me. I'm not, like, watching it, but Daniel Bryan's gear is awesome. And so is Kenny Omega's.
So what you're saying is I should have just done this episode solo.
No. I'm going to. I am actively typing, but, like, if I keep looking, it's because, like, Kenny Omega has really cool gear on.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Who do you got for
US I got title? Priest. I don't see. See, this is going to be the problem. Because, like, I picked Carmella because I do think she's going to win, but I'm also being contrary, so we actually, like, have...
So there's one, there is a difference.
There is differences, but I don't see, like, it's my biggest problem. Sorry, this is going to be a small tangent. This is my biggest problem with, like, half the WWE pay-per-views, is that it feels like they should all just be called placeholder the pay-per-view. Like, In Your House, like, there was, like, an In Your House 16. This is placeholder 47.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, you're, like, any title that you're going to drop, it, like, probably didn't really matter to begin with that somebody was holding it. And like you said, Priest has been very protected.
Yeah.
So I don't see him losing it.
That is fair. And honestly, and like, and you know, we constantly criticize WWE's booking, which for in fairness, the last couple weeks of Raw and SmackDown have been pretty solid.
It's because they've had to be.
Yeah, that's also. But also, you know, anytime we talk about the pay-per-views, it's like, yeah, it's pretty predictable, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
No.
I don't remember the last WWE pay-per-view that I watched, and I was genuinely like, yeah, that was bad. I know there was one pretty recently, though. Like, there was one that was not great.
It involved The Miz and Damian Priest.
With the zombies?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they feuded for, like, 3 years, so, I mean, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Anyway.
Tell me I'm wrong. So yeah, we both have Priest retaining. Although a triple threat match is a way to move that title off of him without, you know. Either way, like, I'll like, give me a bonus point because Jeff Hardy's taking the pin. Like, I feel like there's not a doubt there. Like, that's why he's
no, in because this match. Former
24/7 championship contender Jeff Hardy.
This is the funniest thing I'll ever say in 2021. Of course Jeff Hardy's there to take the pin. Like, that's a wrestling sentence I never thought I would say. Of course Jeff Hardy's there to take the pin.
That's the funniest thing you're going to say this year?
Have I said funnier?
The bar ain't high, and you still managed to clip it. Like,
fair enough. It's over,
though. That wasn't a joke. That was an observation, and you are not Lewis Black.
All right, anyway, what's the next match?
Charlotte Flair defends the Raw Women's Championship against Alexa Bliss. Ooh. This, I think this is the one that is actually the most, like, I don't know. I'm going to make you go first, though, because I've gone first all every other match so far.
Ooh, but actually.
Because there's one thing Raw loves to do, or that WWE loves to do. It's put a belt on Charlotte and then immediately have Charlotte lose it.
Yeah. I'm going Bliss. And but it's WWE. God. Because, like, there's that Flair name is a little tainted right now. And, like, that's where my brain's going. But, again, the Usos. So, like...
Yeah, if anything, they'll name her permanent champion. Like, actually, we're just going to plus one to your... We're just gonna, you don't have to, like, drop it and win it back. We're just going to add one.
Yeah. So, like, I'm kind of... I'm torn on this one because I... Yeah, no, I don't know.
I think Charlotte retains. I think it's going to be another fucky finish. Like, it's going to be a disqualification or a no contest because I don't think that they want either of them to lose right now. But if there is a rematch and it is for the title, Alexa will take it there.
Yeah,
if she doesn't just take, I think it's entirely possible that she takes it here. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is not one I'm super confident in. To be perfectly frank, and I feel like at this point we can be open with each other, I think you picking Carmella is dumb as hell. This one is not one of those. Like, I can see the logic behind it. The Usos versus defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championships against the Street Profits. And I don't know, because it's like the Usos kind of have that air of that they kind of like have siphoned off some of Roman's unbeatability with the Bloodline thing. So I'm not like, but at the same time, I do think it's a matter of time before the Street Profits win. And if they hadn't hotshotted the Big E thing and moved him to Raw, I could have absolutely seen it be a thing of, okay, well, the Usos lose their titles, and then in Roman's frustration, he eventually does drop the belt. But spoiler alert, I don't think he does that tonight. Not tonight, on Sunday.
Yeah.
So
I knew what you meant.
Even I kind of think the Street Profits might win it, but I'm picking the Usos.
Okay. Because, like, I'm kind of in the same boat. I am also going to pick the Usos. See, the predictions is kind of weird whenever I type all this out, because I type out the match and then I type out my prediction. So in my head, I've already said the Usos. Mm-hmm. But I haven't said the Usos. Because I was like, all right, what's the next match? And I was like, oh, wait, I didn't answer yet.
Yeah. Roman Reigns versus the Demon Finn Balor. That's the wrinkle. He already beat Finn Balor the Man. And now, what, like 3 months after coming back to SmackDown, he's already back to being the Demon? And to lose.
Because
I don't see it. I love the idea of the Demon Finn Balor winning the Universal Championship, but when is the Saudi Arabia show, Dalton?
Asa, I'm not going to lie to you. I've only been watching AEW recently.
That's fine, but just know that Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns was announced for the Saudi Arabia show. And it's possible. It's entirely possible that they could do that match non-title, mm-hmm. but I don't think they would.
Yeah, and thank you for telling me that, because I was gonna say Balor until you told me that. That was a cheat sheet.
I'm not going first ever again.
I literally typed out Demon, and then you said that, and I was like, oh nope, you're right. We're gonna go to Reigns. Get my little boy Reigns. Yeah, no. Because it's one of those that, like, the Demon is ignorantly protected. But that being said, we haven't seen the Demon in, like, 3 years?
Since you went to NXT.
Yeah, because the Demon never faced the Fiend, did he? No.
It was supposed to be the Demon versus Sister Abigail, but then that was when, like, the entire roster ended up with, like, lupus or something crazy.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
That got replaced with Balor AJ.
It was meningitis.
It's something bad.
Like, yeah, it's meningitis. I remember that. It was a meningitis scare. But I'm talking because the Fiend's first match was Balor. And we never got... Because it was regular Balor. Because, like, he snapped...
Yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. He snapped Finn's neck, and then Finn kept wrestling because that's how necks mm-hmm. work. And he wrestled in Japan for a long time, so it's a trained neck.
I was gonna say that to make fun of you.
So I realized I said it. I was like, oh wait, he wrestled for New Japan. But we never got, like, it should have been the Demon versus the Fiend, because if he would have beat the Demon, that would have been cool. Like, that would have, like, made the Fiend mean more to me at the beginning. But he killed Balor, and then Balor went to NXT and, like, mm-hmm. recreated him, his damn self. And then we never got that payoff. I'm pretty sure the Demon is undefeated on main roster. I think he lost once on NXT. I think Joe beat mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. But that's the only time that the NXT, like, the Demon lost.
Yeah.
So I would like to think that they wouldn't pull that out to make him lose to Roman, but right now there's not a lot of people. You got to make Roman look really good before he faces Lesnar. So yeah, who is he not beating? The Demon.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Reigns. I was gonna go Demon, but thanks, Asa.
I'm so mad at you. But that's fine. And that's it. We don't have an Intercontinental match. We don't have a WWE Championship match. No Raw tag team, women's tag team match yet. Again, there's still 3 days left a bill. They can always add stuff. Willy-nilly.
And we will finalize this at noon on Sunday.
Saturday.
We're going to do it on Saturday instead?
It's Saturday.
Okay.
It's got to be locked in on Saturday.
Okay, that means you gotta
unless call. Unless you need to... Oh, no, I ain't calling you. No. I already gave you your freebie.
I have the sheet.
Congratulations.
Okay.
All right, we have the Google Doc. We have the Google Sheet. Use that.
Yeah, that's what I'm using. Did I share it to you?
Yes. If you're okay, using then the we both same got one it. We've used the last like 6 months.
Okay, I forgot I shared it to you. Yeah, no, we're good. That's the one I use.
Remember? Because I have to ask you literally every time, like, wait, why is it only saying WrestleMania?
Yeah, oh, that reminds
it's
me.
It's like, oh yeah, because it's underneath. But anyway, so that's Sunday. Obviously, the bigger show is going to be the Ashton McClure Memorial Show on Saturday, so watch that sure. But, moving on. Starting with the news of the week, it is the biggest story, in my opinion, the coolest story, is that AEW has officially announced a partnership with the Owen Hart Foundation that will lead to official, licensed, Martha Hart-approved Owen Hart merchandise, possible video game appearance, the thing Dalton is literally doing a happy dance for right now, action figures, Owen Hart, you know, the wrestling legacy can actually live on now through what AEW is doing.
I almost cried whenever you sent it to our group.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was at work, I was like deep into work. I was working on some projects, and I like checked my phone in a glancing second, and I just like read what you sent, and I almost cried, which would have been really weird for my coworkers because we were doing like a really happy thing, and then I just would have like ended up like just breaking down in tears. So I was able to compose myself, but this is cooler than CM Punk. Like, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. Like, this is probably, I mean, to me at least, like, I'm a big Owen Hart fan. We've talked about that multiple times. If you go back and listen to the first time me and Kevin Huntsberger ever did a podcast together, my 1-2-3 since, it was before I was a wrestler, and we were talking about action figures. He said, is there one glaring thing missing in your action figure collection? And you were sitting right by me. I said, without even thinking, Owen Hart. But I know it'll never happen. And I was fine with it. Like, I totally... And again, we had the Dark Side of the Ring episode a year ago. I totally am on Martha's side with all this.
Yeah.
Like, Brett did not... Brett and a lot of other people did not paint her in a good light prior to that Dark Side of the Ring. And I was never against her, but it did kind of bum me out that we got, like, an Owen Hart... tribute DVD set back in like 2014-2015 where they did like a match compilation, but we never got anything past that. I remember seeing that DVD set thinking, holy shit, we're gonna get figures eventually. Like, if she's willing to say this is okay, which again, I don't think that it has Owen Hart Foundation anywhere on it, so she probably didn't, but like, if they're gonna do that, they're gonna make figures. And it never happened, obviously. Then Dark Side of the Ring comes out. Yeah. In this one, well, there's a lot of instances we can say, but in this one instance for sure, fuck WWE.
Pretty much any Dark Side of the Ring episode is going to elicit that reaction.
Yeah, but I mean...
see, next story.
Yeah, but like the New Jack one and Nick Gage, we didn't have to say fuck WWE. It was a breath of fresh air for once, but like...
Yeah, but they didn't talk about WWE.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there was
anytime WWE's in an episode, they're not going to come off good.
Yeah, so like... Totally understandable. I was super thrilled last year whenever they did the Dark Side of the Ring episode, and they were like, Martha cleared a pro wrestling tees store. And we thought it was going to be limited. I remember like telling you, like, I'm getting one of these damn shirts. And then it ended up being, no, we're going to keep the store open. The proceeds are still going to go to the Owen Hart Foundation. All is good in the fucking world. And then I'm a Pro Wrestling Crate subscriber. They did a limited micro brawler of him in a singlet that said Owen Hart Foundation, which was really cool. I missed out on that one because I was at work when they dropped it. But they were like, we're going to give you an Owen Hart in the pro wrestling crate. I was so happy that I got an Owen Hart toy the first time I got one in 20 plus years. Because, like, I loved Owen Hart as a kid. Like, I had a lot of his figures that they, like, the Bone Crunchers, I had a lot of them. This was the first one I got in 20 years, and I almost lost my mind when I got it. Like, again, almost cried. And this is some next level shit. We're getting figures. We're going to get more merch, which is awesome. There needs to be all the Owen Hart merch in the world as long as it's going to the right place. Video game, like the AEW video game, if it plays like Here Comes the Pain, Asa, I'm going to get to play a Here Comes the Game Pain style game where I can have CM Punk versus Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Do you, and the, so, quick sidebar, because we talk about rosters in the games being updated a lot. Do you think that either Punk or Owen Hart will be in the game?
They're not even, they don't even have a name yet. So, yeah. Like, they're still working on, they only have, like, they've only shown off a handful of models.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're still act like, we don't have a release date, we don't have a name, anything. So, you know.
I mean, it's coming next year. It's supposed to hit in 22.
Okay, then I definitely think we're going to get Owen Hart and CM Punk. Because also, okay, it's super important to note that whenever you read their press release, this is a deal that has been, like, in the works for 2 years.
Yeah.
They've been working at this. So I'm not saying somebody behind the scenes has been, like, rendering Owen Hart shit. But, you know, the second they made that deal, somebody at whoever is making their game said, Owen Hart's in the game, figure it out. Have fun. Hopefully they were said to have fun. I really was hoping that Jeremy Padara was going to be like, and I already knew about this. Here's what the figure's going to look like. Unmatched Series 7. And I was going to be like, that's going to be like next year, like late next year, but I'm here for it. We haven't gotten anything like that. But yeah, no, like this is super awesome for a couple reasons. For one, there's a lot of fans that have been, and I'm going to say this and not, don't take it shitty at all, but we've been deprived Owen Hart merch for 20 years. That's, like, in the grand scheme of things, that's not important. We are also deprived of the human. I said, there's, like,
say, that's the selfish way of looking at that, yes.
Yeah, and I said, let me talk about it. Like, I like, we haven't gotten any Owen Hart merch, really, in 20 years. And I mean, for good fucking reason, because, again, fuck WWE, and Martha has all the right to hold those rights.
Mm-hmm.
And no, like, I, if anybody says otherwise, they are a piece of shit. And so we haven't gotten that, and this is an awesome way for an entire generation of people, because, like, kids watch AEW. I know for a fact they do, because, like, they're in the fucking crowd. This is a whole new generation of people that get to appreciate what Owen Hart brought to wrestling. Again, he's one of those people that was, fuck, 20 years ahead of his time. Imagine if Owen Hart was in his prime right now at AEW.
Mm-hmm.
It would be insane. Like, he was so underrated that it's not even funny. Like, Brett is an amazing wrestler, but I still, like, any day of the week I'll watch an Owen match because I thought he was better. Still do. Like, I love Owen Hart. I'm happy that we're going to get an Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. Yeah, it's just, this is business that we wouldn't have gotten if we hadn't gotten WWE competition and, like, legitimate competition that seems to be out there for the betterment of wrestling, not just the betterment of money. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure AEW loves money, but, like, they also seem to really care about wrestling and wrestling history, which is awesome.
Right. And it also, like, and I don't know if it would have, someone on, I don't know if it was Twitter or on Reddit somewhere, said that the Brody Lee Memorial Show might go down as the most important wrestling show of all time, because that is what led to CM Punk signing, when he realized that, you know, that locker room and that office could hold on to that secret. Daniel Bryan also mentioned that as being a huge part of what kind of pushed him as well, seeing, because that's, again, it's, you know, anyone who met Brody Lee was a friend of Brody Lee. Like, you know, you saw that when he passed, that literally there was no one who had a negative thing to say about him. And I don't necessarily think that this really had it, because, like you said, this is a deal that's been in the works for a while. But you have to think, seeing AEW treat his illness with such, like, honoring what his family asked, and then when he did pass, like, seeing how they honored his memory, by, you know, we're not going to do the show. We're not going to do the normal show. We're doing this instead. We're not just, you know, sticking to the storylines. We're putting on this show in his honor, in his memory. You know, that has to have, I would think that that is literally the type of treatment that Martha Hart would have appreciated from WWE, would have looked for from WWE instead of what happened.
Yeah. So, and again, I haven't seen the day after Owen Hart show in years because I just, it's a fucking bummer, man. But I mean, that being said, so was the Brody Lee, but there was something beautiful about the Brody Lee show comparatively. I mean, also there is something to be said whenever you're not like trying to cover. Well, I'm not saying that they were trying to cover up a murder scene, but they kind of covered up a murder scene.
Well, they just kept the show going like that. Yeah. I think that's ultimately kind of the breaking point is the fact that they didn't stop the show. Like they still had to, there's the gif of the Undertaker in the match. And like, you can see how visibly upset he is. And like looking at the spot where this person just died. So, I mean, it was a very, very fucked up night. And even though I don't know if there were really any right answers, there was clearly a wrong answer. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, what happened there. So,
anyway,
I don't know if this, you know, if what the main point I was going to make though was even like, let's say AEW isn't a thing. And right now Impact actually blew up. Like Impact was that number two close. They're coming for the next, they're winning out in demos. Like Impact is that company. I don't necessarily know if Martha Hart would do this with Impact. I think that this is kind of a perfect storm of, you know, ownership and management and roster and things like that, that I think that I don't know if this would have been a guarantee if it was, you know, a Impact or ROH or, you know, some other company blowing up like this.
And like, there's a lot of things Chris Jericho does that I disagree with, but he very much has been the Triple H to the rest of the wrestling community. Because like in the early 2010s, how often did we hear Triple H was the one that reached out to Bruno and Ultimate Warrior and all this? Mm-hmm. That's what Jericho has been. Like a lot through the Dark Side of the Ring too. Like he was the one that kind of got Benoit's son and Nancy's sister like reconnected, and he's done a lot of things like that. I think he was also the one, like he reached out to Martha Hart after the show and did a podcast with her, and you see him kind of reaching out and doing things. Now also he's affiliated with Vice and AEW, and I think that's what is we're starting to see.
Because he put Martha Hart and Pro Wrestling Tees in touch, didn't he? Like he was the one that kind of brokered them communicating.
Yeah, and it's, so it's one of those where it's like, I mean, I want to give credit where credit's due. He has done a lot for this too. It's just, it's, man, it's, there's nothing more I can say than it's so fucking cool.
Yeah.
That Owen is going to get a proper, and again, we're not deserved this. Like I said, we're deprived, but like if I had never gotten an official Owen Hart shirt ever, I would have understood. Would it have sucked? Yeah. I have two now because I found one at Hot Topic and it was really cool. But like the fact that we are now going to get continuous merch, we're going to get figures, we're going to get him in video games. Like he is going to be correctfully immortalized in professional wrestling the way that he fucking deserved to be. Because for the last 20 years, whenever you think Owen Hart, like, yes, you would eventually get to how great he was in the ring, but that's not your first thought. It never was your first thought. It was the night he passed. And like, that's a shame. And I mean, in a way it should be, because that I hopefully taught or gave or taught WWE a lesson on to not do stupid things unnecessarily.
Well,
but they obviously haven't learned that lesson well enough. But now we are going to get a Owen Hart. Here's what he did. Here is things to memorialize him properly. And the fans are finally getting it. Like it's an awesome piece of business that's going to give a lot of people closure to otherwise a horrible event. Like we're going to get to celebrate this person's life outwardly more.
in an official capacity, wrestling related, that, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think, I don't know if it was Meltzer or Sean Rassap, someone that I follow on Twitter, is like, no, no, this kind of proves that it wasn't wrestling that Martha Hart hated.
Yeah.
It was Vince.
And again, so, she even said in The Dark Side of the Ring, like, no, like, wrestling wasn't the problem. Like, it very much was WWE was her problem.
Yeah.
And, like, so, his son even being like, no, fuck them. I'm like, yeah, I really, like, after seeing that Dark Side of the Ring, I was like, if I never get an Owen Hart action figure, I'm fucking fine with it. Because, like, I got insight on how the family felt. And if they say fuck them, I'm going to stay on the family side of fuck them. Because they don't have
their... Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
The type of person who sees that and their reaction is, oh, but I want an action figure.
They need to get
over it. Yeah, you're a piece of garbage. Yeah. So, and there's been a weird, like, people upset about this and those people are stupid. I'm not even going to, you know, give oxygen to their quote unquote points.
I don't have any, but I'll give them one really quick. And the amount of oxygen I'm going to give is fuck you. See how that took half a breath. Okay. I feel good about it.
But that's super cool. Very excited to see what comes of this partnership. And also, if you don't know, check out the Owen Hart Foundation as well. Like, it's just it's a really cool cause.
As of right now, if you buy anything from the Pro Wrestling Tees store, that the proceeds to those shirts go to the Owen Hart Foundation. So,
yep.
Get a shirt whenever AEW starts making them. Get another shirt. Owen Hart shirts are cool. I have two of them. Mm-hmm. They're both pretty sweet. So yeah.
Go for the full line. Speaking of Dark Side of the Ring, because we talked about that quite a bit with this, but on Wednesday, was it Wednesday or Thursday?
It was Thursday. I watched it Friday night. I think it was Thursday.
Yeah, so Thursday, the new season of Dark Side of the Ring started, and it covered the plane ride from hell. And as we expected, it was a nightmare. We talked about a couple months ago the producer of it saying, like, wow, I'm going back and watching this, and this is probably the darkest, hardest to watch episode of the series we've done so far. Which, you know, was we talked about it being like, oh no, yeah, when you think about it, like, every time you hear a story of the plane ride from hell, it's always told by one of the boys, and it's always told as like this laughy ha-ha boys will be boys drunken shenanigans story. And in reality, it was a fucking nightmare that was very traumatic for multiple people. Shannon and them on Friday kind of covered it a lot. So instead of, you know, going over just everything that happened, there have been several things to have happened that have as a result of the episode. And that includes not just Ric Flair, but Tommy Dreamer, who had probably the worst, most tasteless take I have ever heard. And because of his ignorant ass comments, he has been suspended indefinitely from Impact Wrestling. And he has also been pulled from the radio. Why can't I think of not Busted, Bust, Busted Skull? Busted Open. I was thinking Stone Cold.
Yeah, Broken Skull. It's Busted Open.
But he's been pulled from Busted Open. They did not give a time frame for how long it will be, but he will no longer be appearing on there for right now. And then, let's see, I feel like there was something else for Dreamer, but I'm blanking on it. We also have the Ric Flair side of things, of course. The Car Shield commercials that he was doing, those ads have been suspended. He has been removed from several marketing pieces involving live appearances. There's a Comic-Con in New York coming up that was advertising him as having an appearance. Those appearances are no longer listed. He has been removed from the official WWE show intro that Then Now Forever. The Woo is not there. His image is not there. And actually, did you see who they replaced him with?
No.
It's the Ultimate Warrior.
Oh, like, I mean, the Ultimate Warrior never... I can't.
I don't... You know, it's boy, they're just so close to getting it, aren't they?
They're like, one small step forward, one giant fucking step back.
So, okay. And then also, because, remember, it's been a couple years at this point, I think, but whenever we did the episode after the 30 for 30, and I distinctly remember talking about, like, man, they really talk about his adultery and womanizing as like a ho-ho, hardy-har, flare gonna flare. And I was like, that's uncomfortable, right? Like, that's not the way we want to shine that light, right? Well, yeah, so it turns out, no, it's not. But if you remember, there was a series on the WWE Network. It's still on Peacock, the series is, called Storytime.
Yeah.
Which is WWE legends and wrestlers telling road stories, and it's animated. So mm-hmm. they're narrating the story, and what you're watching is like an animated version. Well, you can't watch it now because it's been pulled, but there was an episode that one of the segments was the plane ride from hell. And wouldn't you know it, old jokey cartoon Ric Flair swinging his hammer around as the helicopter. Well, that jokey cartoon you can't go back and watch anymore. For the exact same level of offense as someone having two ponytails at once.
All right, so I can't understand the take at all that Tommy Dreamer had, but if someone would have like blindsided him, like TMZ style, and he's like said some stupid shit like that, I would have been like, shouldn't have fucking said it. But when somebody comes up and like just says somebody that you look up to or that's your colleague, and you just quickly defend them, you might say some dumb shit. That's not what happened. Dude was sitting down like we are right now with a camera in his face like we are right now. Only difference is people actually like get to see what's on the side of the camera. We do this just for us. And he still said the most ignorant shit of all time.
Yeah. Like, and he was prepared. He knew what they were going to talk about. And so I'm not even going to get into, I don't really want to justify, definitely not going to fucking justify what that idiot said. I don't want to give any sort of credence to it. But yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. He clearly wasn't. Like, he was defending his friend. He was trying to defend his friend, but he did it in the shittiest way possible. And I need everyone to listen right now. If I have a friend who's put in that situation, and I know for a fact that, like, oh, what, like, this person just did this terrible fucking thing, they're not going to be my friend anymore. Like, doesn't matter. Like, that's not how that works. It's one, like, and I've seen a lot of people be like, why are people madder at Tommy Dreamer than they are at Ric Flair? And I want to say, they're not. I'm not. It's just the fact that this has been known for so long for some people. There are several, like, there's a lot of people who had no idea the plane ride from hell was even a thing.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think that story has been around for so long, but it's always been played up as like this, just crazy night partying that, you know, the details kind of get lost in the legend of it all. And now that we're staring at the details, you can't really ignore it anymore. And also, Tommy Dreamer, active on the Impact roster, has a weekly radio show. You know, there are things he can actively lose right now. Whereas Ric Flair, he already didn't work for WWE. He, you know, isn't signed anywhere. This likely prevents him from going to AEW, which, like, even now, like, I kind of feel gross about being so excited about him and Andrade, you know, potentially being paired up. Like, that's something I've been talking about for weeks now. And I knew this story, but again, I think it was just that new context of like, oh no, now we're actually hearing from the people who weren't part of WWE. Now we're actually hearing from the flight attendants. And like, yeah, when they give their side and they tell their story and how this affected them and what happened to them. And it's just like, oh no, fuck this dude. And yeah, fuck everybody on that plane. Like, played a part of it.
Yeah, because, like, we did get a couple people. Mike Chioda, I think, kind of skirted under the radar of, like, being offensive. Because he didn't say, like, I think Tommy Dreamer bit the bullet for a lot of people that probably should have gotten called out for some of the stupid shit they said on this episode.
Because he went, like, full victim blaming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, not saying he did anything good for the people, but, like, Chioda, you fucking watch him, and he's not really condoning it. Like, he's not really condemning it. He's like, oh man, it was fucking wild, man. Like, I've never gotten that ignorantly drunk. But like, I've gotten drunk and people have said, yeah, you were fucking funny. That's fine. But whenever it's somebody, like, and you know they're going to get into the sexual, like, assault aspect of this, and you're still like with that tone, that's right. That's a problem. The fucking hall is just as bad for fucking licking a person and like trying to assault her. But like his thing was recorded prior. X-Pac's segment, I think, was also a audio clip they took from something else. Mm-hmm. Because like Rob Van Dam, I'm not going to say he came out as looking like a, like looking like the savior of it, because he wasn't condoning any of it. I will say that he very much even said like, yeah, not everybody wants to see that. I can very much understand somebody not wanting to see that.
Yeah.
And I like, and this is gross wrestling. Like that take is problematic, but it's not as problematic because I could see a Rob Van Dam in his mid-20s. I think he was like mid to late 20s at this point. Like, I could see him at the time not being like, what the fuck are you doing to Ric Flair? Because it's like what JR said. He was a made man in wrestling. And in, right. And in that time, that wasn't something like you, Rob Van Dam couldn't have been the person to be like, you need to fucking stop. Because if he did, maybe not right after that plane ride, but he would have been fired within a year. Because Flair would have politicked it. So, like, now he can be like, no, it was fucking stupid. It was childish. It was dumb shit. He even said, because Terry Reynolds, which, by the way, fucking God bless her. Because that's somebody that wrestling failed. Because whenever people are being so shitty to her and they're saying, just don't react to it, man. Just, if you react to it, it's only going to be worse.
Don't sell it.
That's, it's fucking heartbreaking, Asa.
Well, and like, even like Maria Kanellis issued the same thing. Like she was told the same stuff. And think about the time frame that she was there, at least the first time. You know, it genuinely does seem like there has been a strong shift in the backstage behavior of WWE wrestlers.
It makes that Undertaker quote from that fucking podcast he did even worse. Like, I just miss
they're playing video games.
Good. You mean that they're not fucking waving their dick around and making people touch it? Like,
yeah, they're not shitting in each other's bags as a joke.
Yeah, like
there's it's one of those things where like at this point, if you love a wrestler that was active from like 2007 and before, just don't learn anything about them. Don't find out their real name. Don't watch anything Dark Side of the Ring related. Don't like just don't. And man. I'm not saying that anyone after that, like, obviously now there's still people in the, there's still people in the locker room right now that are problematic as shit, but like, you know, it seems like that number's at least cut down, or at least they're problematic for different reasons.
Well, I think it's whenever we talked about the speaking out movement, whenever we were, because I think we still had Hunter and Shannon out on the show, and I said, it's a really good fucking thing for people that wrestled in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up until the early 2000s, right around 2002 in the play Ryan for Hell, that fucking social media didn't exist.
Oh, and even, like, when stuff did come out, like, look at Steve Austin. He had two different, you know, partners accuse him of beating the shit out of him. And it's just like, but he's still, like, the most beloved guy of all time. It's Brian Zane just did an episode, like, a week or two ago about, like, top eight wrestlers who survived a controversy. Ric Flair was on that list, which the timing didn't work out well for Zane there, but listening to a lot of the New Day podcast. Like, I'm going through and trying to get caught up on that because it's just one, it's just super, super entertaining.
Yeah.
But you can kind of obviously they don't get into stuff like that heavy, but they mentioned that Kofi is kind of one of the last people there who he was at the tail end of the old ways and is there now for the new ways. Cause like him in the episode that Miz was on, they kind of touched on a little bit of that. And like every once in a while, they'll be like, oh yeah, now everybody goes to their hotel room or like gathers around Woods's PlayStation to play Madden or something versus, oh, well, you know, Kofi, it was, oh, you had to go out and you had to, you know, so it's interesting to see, but it's such a good change that we're seeing now. And honestly, like people complain about cancel culture, but it's not canceling. It's accountability.
Yeah.
You know, just because something's funny to you or is good for you, like everyone at Podzilla in general, but like you and I have said stuff as a joke that like probably we shouldn't have. And it's all about recognizing that and growing and trying to do better. And you know, I'm happy to say, like, from the time that I was in high school to college to even when we started doing this podcast, like, I'm a different person. Yeah. To the point that I'm, like, ashamed of, like, the shit that I thought was funny or that I laughed at or the jokes that I made. But it wasn't just, you know, out there. And that kind of behavior, like you said, if there was social media in the 80s and 90s, there wouldn't be a WWF.
No.
You know, like, think of the mainstream attention, the shit from, like,
Snuka.
From Snuka, the steroid trial, stuff like that. Like, that would have never, that could have toppled the company before it was really, really the empire.
Yeah.
That it is now.
And, like, it's weird, man, because it was a story. Like, I remember Plane Ride from Hell. I do remember the whole Flair whipping it out, which, if that was something that was popping the boys back then, and again, if you don't put the flight attendants in, like, all right, cool, whatever, but there's other people. Like, that's what Rob Van Dam was saying. He was just like, not everybody wants to see it. And it's right. Like, all right, cool, like, if you're only doing that in the locker room and everybody's fucking laughing about it, like, probably not the coolest thing, but, like, you're doing this in a fairly public place. There's people that don't work for the company on that plane.
Yeah.
And we have that. We have X-Pac cutting Michael Hayes's fucking ponytail off, which that's somehow the most benign thing in this whole situation. Like,
right.
It got told, and that was the only time I found any amusement in this episode. Because, again, we've all heard Michael Hayes talk. We can all imagine what that was like of just fucking silliness. And then you have Lesnar and Lesnar and Henning wrestling and breaking the plane. Like, yeah, they didn't break it, but they broke the shit inside of it. There was, like, used needles. There was blood. Dustin Rhodes was drunk as shit. And, like, they kind of glossed over his whole thing.
I was going to say, well, don't forget, there was a second lawsuit from a second flight attendant that came from that for whatever reason they didn't cover on that episode. So, like,
and I don't even want to try to get into that, because that is a whole new can of worms that I don't even really want to think about. And, like, there was just, we were talking about it before the episode, or before we recorded, of there is some dark side of the rings that are just so hard to watch, but they give us little clips of cool shit, like the Brian Pillman set. Like, yeah, that's a tragic story, but at the end of it, there's a face turn, because we have Pillman Jr. who's killing it, and, like, there's good out of it. Like, there was some legitimately entertaining episodes of Dark Side of the Ring. This was not that, even a little bit. Like, this was pretty much suck on top of more suck on top of more suck. Can you pull the name of the flight attendant? Because I do want to shout her out on being the fucking baddest ass that's ever been on a Dark Side of the Ring. Because she just flat out, like, told what happened, and then said it was fucked up. And it was just, all the props in the world to her. Like, Brian Pillman Jr. was my favorite, like, testimonial and talking head on any of the Dark Side of the Rings that has happened until this last week. Because that strong lady is fucking awesome. Like, she was great.
Heidi Doyle.
Heidi Doyle, she is the recipient of the baddest ass of the Dark Side of the Ring award, because the amount of strength and courage it took to do what she did is admirable. Mm-hmm. She was great. And it's so fucking shitty that wrestling failed her. And it, I mean, because she literally had no reason. She worked for a company, and fuck that company, by the way. But, like, she was just wronged in every way and was swept under the rug until now, and thank God that is a sentence that we don't have to say anymore. Like, yeah. There's was it you that shared the Sean Ross Sapp thing to us that said the Dark Side of the Ring episode of the Plane Ride from Hell airs, lives are going to be ruined, and it's deserved.
Yeah
like, so that Sean Ross Sapp again hitting the nail right on the head.
Yeah, I don't 100% remember if it was him, but I do remember that quote, and it's like, yeah, because it's just awful. There's nothing else to say about it other than just, dear Lord. But, and also, you know, maybe have just a single shred of empathy for people. Because, like, I don't know. The one thing that really pissed me off, but following the coming out of it was, like, I know we get preachy on here, and that's a turnoff for a lot of people, but too bad. It's our show. The last point I want to make on this before we move on, because we got a bunch of us to talk about. We're already almost at an hour. Well, we're going to bring back the fast count.
Hell yeah.
If you remember the segment from years past. If you are not someone directly affected by someone's actions. So in this case, Tommy Dreamer made incredibly insensitive comments about victims of sexual assault. If you yourself are not a victim of sexual assault, when Tommy Dreamer apologizes in the I'm sorry if you were offended, I'm sorry if I offended you manner that he did, you do not get to accept that apology. You don't get to go onto Twitter and be like, hey, you apologized, it's all good. Because that's not your place. That's not your, you know, you're not the one that had to experience that and go through that. Your acceptance of that apology doesn't mean jack shit. Like, you need to take a step back. You're not the main character. This isn't about you specifically. So, like, yeah, what he said to me personally didn't affect me. But I also recognize that. And I know that I'm not the person who should be, like, I'm outraged by it, like, on behalf of other people. And, like, I can recognize the fact that that was a very, very insensitive, ignorant thing for him to say. But seeing people be like, oh, no, we love you, Tommy. We know you did. It's fine. Like, no, that it's not. You do not get to absolve him. You don't have that authority. You don't have that ability. So that's something that was really getting under my skin, seeing more and more of it as like the day progressed. But moving on from that, dear Lord knows that I think the next episode is Canyon. So see in a week to be just as pissed off about, because honestly, I hope they come swinging at Undertaker. Like, full stop. Like, I mean, we've heard the story. Like, granted, you know, there's stories, there's rumors, maybe it's not true, but like, there's enough smoke there for there to be fire. I just watched a clip. I don't know when it's from, but John Cena appeared on the Howard Stern show, and they're like, hey, so what happened with this Canyon guy? And he's like, ah, he wasn't good. He got fired because he wasn't good. He didn't come out until after he got fired. Just toeing that fucking corporate line, sucking that corporate dick.
And to like say that,
that's not a good phrase to use. But and to look at that corporate boot.
And to say that Chris Canyon wasn't good. Like, let's take the obvious, like, fucked upness of that comment aside to just mm-hmm. be like, they're bad, they got fired. Chris Canyon was amazing.
I've seen people try to defend it as like, no, what he said was like, oh, he wasn't like entertaining. Like, he wasn't over with the crowd. And it's like, gee, I wonder why. But anyway, moving on. We'll talk about that next week, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, we'll have a whole show to talk about it.
All right, fast count. We're going. Tetsuya Naito is out of the G1 tournament with a knee injury. That sucks.
Damn it.
Naito's one of my favorites in New Japan, has been for a very long time, and the G1 is always this. It makes me wonder how much longer New Japan can do the G1 tournament like they've been doing it. Because, like, this series of just hard-hitting, super intense matches, like, for in such a short period of time, like, these G1 tournaments are killing the bodies of these guys. So I'm wondering, and because this isn't the first injury that's happened during the G1 either.
Uh-uh.
Like, not necessarily, I don't know about this year, but, like, I feel like there's always at least one high-profile injury that happens during this tournament. So I'm wondering if how long it's sustainable for them to realize maybe we need to figure out how to maybe space some of these blocks or something out.
Yeah.
Grand Metalik has apparently requested his release from WWE.
I forgot.
Can't say that I'm surprised.
Yeah. I forgot he was still there.
Because it was not Sin Cara. Holy crap. Kalisto. Salida del Sol. Kalisto. Thank you. I could think of Lucha Dragons. I could think of the name of his finisher. But I couldn't think of Kalisto. I feel like there was a Lucha Dragons, not a Lucha Dragons.
Lucha House Party.
There was a Lucha House Party. It was him and Dorado tagged. maybe a month or so ago, a couple months ago. Like, they were on Raw, and they actually, like, won. Time means nothing, so maybe it was, like, 6 months ago. But I know Dorado has been part of the 24/7 chase for a while now. But, yeah, Gran Metalik is someone who, from that first, from his first appearance in the Cruiserweight Classic, I was just like, oh, this dude is money. You would have to just, like, be stupid to not be able to make $1 million with him. Well, Pete Dunne has re-signed with NXT. He has apparently signed a new long-term contract. He was another name. He and Adam Cole, I think, were the same day that it was revealed that both of their contracts were coming up. But he also had signed a temporary extension, but now it looks like he has also signed a long-term deal. Speaking of contracts coming up soon, Johnny Gargano is the next name whose deal is coming up. This is another example, though, of this isn't a surprise. They knew it was coming up. Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful Select, so I'm not going to go into, like, the full details of the story just because he charges for it. But yeah, there was a number of deals that came up in 2019, and a lot of big names chose not to re-up at that time. Because even though NXT was, like, going to be moved to television, the deals apparently weren't, like, much different than what they already had. So they wanted to hold out to, you know, see if they could get something better, apparently. Samoa Joe, speaking of NXT, was forced to vacate the NXT title due to injury. We don't know the nature of the injury. We don't know how long he's expected to be out, but it's supposed to be long enough that he has to vacate the title. And fuck, dude, like, what sucks. A heartbreaker.
Sucks that so sucks. Hard.
It's such a bummer. So all our best to Joe, and hopefully he gets back soon and eventually challenges Ciampa, who won the NXT title at the first NXT 2.0 episode, which is cool to see, but, like, boy, that circumstance is awful.
Yeah.
Man, we didn't even get to talk about NXT 2.0. Maybe next week. Maybe it'll be a slow week.
Yeah, we definitely won't talk about Canyon at all.
Oh, Jesus. Gable Steveson has signed with WWE. Part of his deal is that he will be able to continue to compete amateur wrestling, so he likely won't, you know, actually appear or, you know, report to WWE for some time still. Unless he does it simultaneously, which he could be. As a side note, with the signing of Gable Steveson, good luck to Chad Gable, who will either revert back to Shorty G or just go by Chad, because apparently we're not allowed to have more than one of the same name.
Oh, that's been a thing forever.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it.
Oh, okay. I was like, is there a recent one that I missed? My bad.
Well, I mean, the most recent one is Cole and Adam Cole. Yeah, Michael Cole, they wanted to change Adam Cole's name when he came up to the main roster, apparently. Which, by the way, there was a report that he never heard that pitch. So people were saying, oh, then they're making it up. It's like, well, no, there's a million pitches that don't actually make it to the talent. You know, wasn't necessarily the plan, but it was a plan that was at least at some point floated. And you know that's true because Xavier Woods didn't know that he was going to host Talking Smack because they forgot to tell him. Kofi Kingston finds out about, he just did an interview where he says he finds about matches on Twitter. Like, oh, the New Day is in a tag team gauntlet. Okay, good to know.
That would get frustrating.
Right? And then the final big story is, of course, Big E winning the WWE title. We're not going to get super deep into it, but super excited for him. I was a little underwhelmed with the way it happened, personally, just because I would have liked to see that road be, like, a full story, whereas this was, like, Monday Night Football's premiering, gotta do something big. Which, if they're gonna do something, hell yeah, put the belt on Big E. Now let him hold on to it until Xavier Woods wins King of the Ring and ultimately challenges someone for the WWE title, whether it's Big E or whoever takes it off of Big E, and then give all three members of the New Day that title. Because 2 out of 3 is a stupid number. You want the 3 out of... If you're going to... 1 out of 3, okay, makes sense. 2 out of 3, dumb.
Yeah.
Give us the 3 out of 3. Give us the 3 out of 3.
Especially for somebody like Woods that has done so much goodwill for the company.
No kidding. No kidding. So, but that's going to do it for us. If you want to see us, Saturday, September 25th, Ashton McClure Memorial Show at the Charleston High School in Charleston, Missouri. Get your tickets now, or get them at the door. I'm not your dad. Do what you want. But either way, get them. All the money goes to St. Jude, which is an incredible, incredible cause. And then, of course, prowrestlingtees.com/Dalton Anthony. Get you some Dalton Anthony merch. Twitch.tv/the5star man. I did stream on Sunday. I did Donkey Kong. And I learned that if you get a game over in Donkey Kong, but you didn't save at any point, that you have to restart the entire game. So I got to the second to last set of levels, or maybe even the last set of levels, and got that game over. But I was like, oh, I'm just going to beat it in one sitting. Why do I need to save? That's why. That's why. I think that clip is still up on my Twitch if you want to go and watch it. Just fast forward to the last, like, 5 minutes and see the absolute mental breakdown I had. It's a good time. It's a good time. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. Of course, facebook.com/podzilla1985. Give us a like. Watch the shows other than this one live as they happen. We just did a special I Want to Believe It's Nerd Up on Monday. That was a lot of fun.
It was good.
That was a ton of fun to do. It was myself, Jesse, Tanner, Shannon, and Hunter, and Lindsay. Because there was a miscommunication. There just hasn't been a Monday show in like a month and a half. And we both were like, oh yeah, well, we're not going to record tonight, so we'll do one next Monday. So I jumped into the chat and Jesse and Tanner were already there. And Tanner was like, yeah, I thought we were going to do it. I Want to Believe tonight.
Well, here we are.
There was no plan. Yeah. So, but yeah, so get your tickets. We'll see you on Saturday. Give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitch and Twitter and all of that non-stuff. Nonsense. I try to say nonsense and stuff, and it combined it into two. But yeah. So tomorrow night, PZ85 after dark. Friday is some horse time. I was going to jump in to do something for that, but I got into the Halo Infinite Flight, so I'm probably not going to be doing nothing but Halo. That's how much the Ashton McClure show means to me, is that I am giving up the full day almost of Halo Infinite gameplay because I want to raise money for St. Jude.
Hell yeah.
So come, make my sacrifice.
No.
Worthwhile. Come say hello. Come buy tickets, buy some snacks, buy some merch. Yeah. I don't know. I'm rambling. We did it.